It is a great delight to be with you here this afternoon and to welcome Moses formally, but also to meet all of you. So it's very good to be here amongst you. And we've even got the fair to celebrate Moses' arrival. Hey! So shall we pray together? Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Moses and Kim and Joshua, that's right, isn't it? Joshua and Jessica and Jonah and Josie. I hope that your travels have been straightforward. I hope that you are feeling settled. And I wonder if, just like Roy and I, because we've only been here, well, a bit more than 3 weeks now, not very long, really. I wonder if, just like us, you discovered you had more stuff than you thought. Is that true, do you think? More stuff than you thought. And I wonder if you've been to the tip more times than you'd anticipated. And I wonder how many boxes you had between the six of you. I won't ask, but I can't help wondering. So I hope it has been easy, welcoming, and happy for you, because this time of change, and it's a big time of change for a whole family, is quite a thing to manage. I don't know about you, but just this last year, I felt a bit like I've been sitting on a train, travelling relentlessly in one direction towards East Anglia, but I've actually been facing the wrong way. I've been looking backwards because I've been worrying about all the things that I was leaving, all the jobs I felt like I needed to do, all the things I wanted to fix, all of which, of course, to do all of those has been impossible. But now, actually, I finally feel like I'm sitting in the right direction on the train, and I hope that's true for you as well. There is a story about Albert Einstein travelling on a train. And Einstein's a very famous science professor. And he's sitting on the train and just trundling along. And the conductor comes down the aisle and says, "Tickets, please." And Einstein can't find his ticket. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Perhaps it doesn't anymore because you've got them on your phone. But nevertheless, this is a time of paper tickets. So he's looking for his ticket and he looks in his pockets and he looks in his jacket, he looks in his bag, and he gets more and more embarrassed. So eventually he's scrambling around on the floor underneath his seat looking for his ticket, which he cannot find. And the conductor says to him, "Sir, please don't worry. I know who you are." And Einstein says to him, "Well, thank you kindly. I know who I am. The difficulty is I don't know where I'm going." I don't know where I'm going. There's always an element of that feeling when you arrive after the great Methodist shuffle that we call stationing. Of course, you do your homework, you wonder and you anticipate, and you remember the good and faithful and welcoming people that you met on a visit. You think about where the supermarket might be. You sort of might work out where the GP's been. I hope you've not yet worked out where the A&E is. You even sometimes work out where the churches are. And here you've just got the one, so that makes it more straightforward. And in my case, I've had to work out all kinds of Norfolk names that are spelt one way and pronounced another. But there is a part of you that wonders and doesn't really know where it is that you are going. But despite these things, we trust in God who is good, God who leads us, God who journeys with us, God who goes before us. We trust in the welcome of good people like you. And this keeps us going. We've heard the first part of the Old Testament book of Ruth. And I'd recommend the whole of the Old Testament book of Ruth to you. It's only four chapters long, and we've almost heard the first chapter today. And it's a good book. It's compact. And it tells a story of Ruth and Naomi and Orpah and a community. It's a refugee story. It's a story about power and politics. It's a story of journeying to a place which is unfamiliar, journeying with an open-heartedness, a journey of courage and bravery, a journey into the unknown. And we often hear some of the words that we heard this afternoon, where you will go, you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. But let's just pause for a moment with Ruth, because this is a story of sadness. It's a story where there is a depth of sorrow attached to it. Perhaps we should pause to remember all those today who journey into the unknown, not out of choice, not because of the Methodist stationing process or the sending part of any church denomination, but out of desperation for a better kind of life. In the story of Ruth, we're reminded of the lengths that people will go to find bread and to find belonging. Here, in this story, there is a historic conflict between the Moabite people and the Judean people. Ruth could certainly not be sure of a warm welcome. And there are many such refugee stories throughout the whole of the Bible. Ruth is just one of them. And there's nothing new, is there, about borders and about walls and about displacement and about migration, stories which are familiar to us now just as they were then. But let's remember that every human border, every human difference fades into nothing in the face of the kingdom of God, where all are welcome, all are included, and all are loved. But what more might we learn from Ruth and Naomi just now? How might we honour their story today? Let's recognise that there is power in solidarity, in journeying together with other people, in taking the first step. In his book, The Nazareth Manifesto, the theologian and priest Sam Wells says that the most important word in the Bible for him is with. God with us. Us with one another. God within us, and God within the face of every person. Standing alongside, walking together, entering places of pain and joy, simply being with us. Entering transformation times of communities and new beginnings with us. There is a Hebrew word in this passage which is hesed, which is a word which doesn't quite do it justice, but nevertheless is loosely translated as loving compassion and kindness. Hesed means going a bit further than you otherwise might to offer someone a warm welcome, to offer them compassion, to embrace them. It goes as far as even offering them money if they need it. Hesed is there and repeated in this story of Ruth, a young woman who chooses to journey with her mother-in-law with courage to an unfamiliar country. Hesed, loving kindness. We're encouraged to have that loving kindness and to be with one another too. There is power in solidarity. Secondly, the story of Ruth reminds us that difference can change us for the better. Difference can change us for the better. Ruth's bravery pans out for her in this story. We meet her again right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. At the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, there's a long list of the ancestors of Jesus, and just in the middle of that list, there is Ruth's name. There she is, wholeheartedly in the line of David. This foreign woman who has appeared in an unusual, unknown country, but takes her place within it. Change, difference can change us for the better. And let's be honest, in church life, we don't always celebrate change. We don't always love it. Sometimes we're a bit frightened of change and what it might mean for us, and we wonder where it'll lead. And yet, perhaps we need to be reminded that the Spirit of God is always about change and movement and transformation of people's lives, of church life, of community life. The Spirit of God weaves amongst us and leads us on. We are in a time of change in the church. It's so wonderful to be here and to learn that you are a growing and changing community. How exciting is that, to have such fresh shoots and new opportunities? Let's embrace that, because difference really can change us for the better. And the last thing I just want to say is that Ruth is in what we might call a liminal space. And that's the space where you're standing on the threshold or on the entrance to a doorway, and you're not sure what it's going to be like when you step forward through that doorway. And you're standing there and you're thinking, oh, I'm a bit betwixt and between here, and I'm not sure if I'm coming or if I'm going and how it's going to be. She isn't sure either. But she knows there is potential, I think. In our gospel reading, we hear described in the last chapter, the last original words of Mark's gospel, another liminal space. Mark's resurrection account is the only one in which we don't meet the risen Jesus in the garden. We hear about the women, as in the other Gospels, who come to the tomb early on Sunday morning to do what the law requires. They wish to anoint the body, and they're actually worried about the practicalities and how they're going to move away this huge stone in the front of the tomb. But the stone has gone, and they meet a young man sitting there. And he says, he's not here. He has risen. He's gone ahead of you to Galilee, and he'll meet you there. Galilee is the place where their journey of discipleship has begun. So it's rather like they have to go back to the beginning and start again. Jesus has gone ahead of them. I think it would be good for us to notice that now. This is Jesus who goes ahead of us. Goes ahead of us in ministry. Goes ahead of us into every pastoral visit, every church council, every meeting, every encounter, but also every new classroom and every new teacher, every new place. Jesus goes ahead of us. There is nowhere that we can go where he is not there already. And what a promise that is for us all. Let's take comfort in that, encouragement in that, joy in that. Jesus who goes ahead of us. So three brief thoughts. There is power in solidarity, in being with each other, in having loving kindness. To remember that difference can change us for the better. And that in this liminal time, that God is there and goes ahead of us. Everywhere that we go, God, Jesus, is there already. And so as we journey on together, and I feel sure it will be an exciting journey, full of encouragement and joy and celebration and transformed lives and wonderful church communities. As we journey on together, let's be curious and let's be open-hearted and let's have hesed, loving kindness for one another. And let's know that God loves us all, blesses us with an unbounded and an unbounded love.